The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello?
Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
We're back. As the intro said, I'm Paul Orlowski, and our program, all about vocations, for sure. God Calling is the name of the program. And somebody that has a really unique perspective on God's call, at least to young men, is Father Andy Turner. He is the Dean of Students and a faculty member at Borromeo Seminary. Father, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
I first met you out at Avon Lake saying Mass, and I was very taken by it. And having done a few of these shows, we've talked to a lot of priests about their vocation, but I thought you've probably got a pretty broad spectrum of what brings guys or different views, what gets them interested and goes from there. You said something interesting just before we came on, which is that you were from St. Mary's in Hudson. That's like ripe fields for priests.
It's a great privilege to have the opportunity to have grown up in Hudson and been part of St. Mary's in Hudson, though I remind my college seminarians that my family moved out of Hudson before most of them were born. So, yeah, I'm a little bit older of a vocation to what has happened most recently over the last 10 years or so, and I think you've had guests on your show in the past that have talked about the vocation boom at St. Mary's in Hudson. Yeah. Now, I was ordained in 2006, which was right about the time that some of that was starting up. So I was an earlier vocation to all of that. But St. Mary's Hudson, wonderful community. I was there. We had a great youth program, just wonderful priests. So it was a great blessing to be in Hudson.
Maybe you're just a role model.
Oh, well, I'm happy to be part of anything that I can be a part of. If there was any sense, any of the prayers that I had, it was great to be there. I was an altar server at Mass. I played trumpet during the Christmas set liturgy celebrations, you know, all of those things. I was part of the community as well.
Yeah. I've heard that about that particular parish. Yeah. In your vocation, it came a little bit later in life. You went to Ohio University.
Yeah, so I went to Hudson High School, went to public school. And at the time, though I was involved at St. Mary's in Hudson and involved in the youth group, I was not considering a vocation to the priesthood at that time, though I had priests that were role models for me. So good models in my life. I think it was in the back of my mind that was a possibility, but was looking at other careers, particularly in communication, in consulting, which is the work that I ended up doing for a few years after I graduated from Ohio University. But that sense of calling was still there, and I was having some good conversations with priests that were helping me to reflect upon that. So eventually I said, you know, if I'm going to keep asking the question, I might as well get an answer. And I entered the seminary, and the rest is history. I was ordained in 2006. Yeah, it was great.
You were actually working for Ernst & Young.
I was, yeah, right in Cleveland, actually. Yeah, so was traveling quite a bit, but was working for an accounting consulting firm at that time, did 3 years. It was a wonderful, wonderful firm to work for, met great people, and in fact, some of the people I worked with, I am still good friends with today. We get together when we can and are able to share some time together. So it really was a great blessing.
With you, it wasn't, you got bopped over the head. It was just kind of, it was just in the back of your head. Or was it annoying or just maybe kind of a questioning?
Yeah. So, you know, I give it a lot of credit to the youth minister and the associate pastor, parochial vicar that was at St. Mary's in Hudson when I was young. He was very, first the parochial vicar was very close to our family. He'd come over for meals, just a very humorous, loving man, still a priest, Father Michael B. Smith down in Akron. Just a great guy, a great model. And then Beth Davis, our youth minister at St. Mary's in Hudson, was just vibrant and energetic and brought us together for some wonderful retreats. And so I give a lot of credit to both of them and just the working of the Holy Spirit. It was my confirmation retreat that I recall most vividly, having the first thought about a religious vocation. And from there, just continued to reflect and pray with that. And it was fostered through the love of my parents and great people in my life.
It seems like once you got into the cemetery, seminary, don't want to rush things on you. Once you got into the seminary, you had found home.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't a matter of whether I should become a priest once I was in the seminary. It was just that journey to the seminary that took a little bit of time. And so from my own experience, I've been able to talk with guys that sometimes have that question, you know, should I enter the seminary at all? Should I delay a little bit? Because I did delay, first I was able to pay off my undergraduate, which was really great, mm-hmm. not to have any of that debt, to work for a great company, to meet some amazing people, to continue to grow in my faith, to pick up some good business skills that have become a great piece of my ministry now as I teach in the seminary. So I think God, of course, and we know, God had a plan through all of that. And so I think delaying it really was the best thing for me. Now, that's not for everyone. Some guys go right from high school into college, right from college into the major seminary, and I think that's the pathway for them. But for me, pausing a little bit was a great way to affirm and confirm that, so that when I did enter the seminary, yeah, I was all in.
There's no cookie cutter approach, that's
right.
For sure.
That's right, yeah. God calls us individually.
The skills you had in the business world, how do they translate obviously into your teaching, but a lot of it had to do with organizational skills.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I studied organizational communication, industrial organizational psychology, adult learning theories. So all of those things that I was doing in corporations and businesses, helping people to be able to work together as an organization, as a community, to talk to each other, to structure how language communicates a vision and a mission. You know, in some ways, you look into the scriptures and you see St. Paul, obviously, just a gift of the Holy Spirit, was doing very much the same thing with the people he worked with, Timothy and Titus, working with early communities, teaching them how to form community, how to accompany one another, how to lift each other up and support each other. I was doing that in a corporate environment, but it's very much the same in the church as well.
St. Paul's the patron saint of reporters.
There you go. Amen.
Yeah, exactly. And those skills, I don't want to say sadly needed, but needed in a church, in an organization, and particularly now when more pastors are having to reach out through a newsletter, through a bulletin, not as much in-person contact as we once had or have had our whole lives.
Yeah, keeping a sense of vision and mission in sight of everything we communicate and how a parish communicates that vision and mission. It, of course, is the mission of Jesus Christ, the vision of God, the kingdom of God. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about vision and mission. Keeping that at the forefront in everything that we say and everything we do is so key for parishes. And to be able to navigate, the complexity of this world. I'm privileged now. I've been teaching at the seminary for 8 years, and I teach a course in pastoral administration. I know one of the comments that many of your listeners might even wonder is, how do priests learn how to be pastors?
Sure.
We do have courses in that. I teach pastoral theology, how to be a pastor. Obviously, it doesn't cover everything because we have to adjust. Who would have ever predicted the church would be in the situation we are today? But the tools that we have to be able to handle this, I think we have a great history of that in our church. And so we do teach that to the seminarians this day, human resources and accounting and finance and communication and visioning and missioning and stewardship. All of those things are subjects that we cover in classes.
There's a reason this isn't a six-month course.
That's right.
Father Andy Turner is our guest. He is the Dean of Students as well as a faculty member at Borromeo Seminary here in Cleveland. We're going to continue with him right after this. Stay tuned on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back to you. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, and welcome back to Father Andy Turner, the Dean of Students, as well as a faculty member at Borromeo Seminary. And that Dean of Students title, you have obviously close interactions with all of the students, being the Dean of Students. Tell me about the young men discerning a vocation that come to the seminary these days.
Be happy to. I'm so privileged to be able to work with such great, healthy, holy, loving young men that come into Borromeo Seminary. It's a challenge, especially in the culture today, to make the decision to even discern a vocation to the priesthood or religious life. And so the men that come in have spent a lot of time talking with priests and trusted family members and friends and youth ministers before they make the decision to come in. And when they come in, many of them come from maybe a family background that is not as practicing Catholic as you might expect. Some of them really are making a risk to come into the seminary. And they come from every different background, but their one desire is for truth. I think, Paul, you can appreciate this. In your previous career as an investigative reporter, you know, you're always seeking out that truth. Obviously, we're talking about truth with a capital T, the truth. And so that's what they come. They come a hunger for that. They come from homeschooled families. They come from public schools. They come from private Catholic schools. There's really a diversity. It's hard to say that there's one example of a seminarian because they all come from different backgrounds, but they all have a story, and it's wonderful to be able to share in those stories and to be part of that story as they reflect upon how God is calling them in their life of service and of discipleship.
In my life in the 50s and 60s, every grandmother wanted a priest in the family. Do grandmothers still say, "Paulie, why don't you become a priest?"
I think so. I think some parents still do that. But then I also think that there are, because just of the pressure towards whatever a worldly success is, and that hasn't gone away, that's always been there, I think that pressure is more and more, and I think it is hard for people to separate themselves from that.
Mm-hmm. It's not just, you don't just show up at the door and say, "Hey, I want to be a priest." There's an honest dialogue with the church that goes on, and not everybody stays, and maybe some aren't welcome to stay. I don't know.
That's a great statement, Paul. You're exactly right. And that's a very, very important part of the process, that before they even step in the doorway, there has been at least a year, if not more, of meetings and conversations with our vocation director, Father Michael McCandless. There is psychological inventories and profiles and interviews that take place. There's a significant amount of work that takes place before they even walk in the door.
And then the process begins.
Correct. Yeah. So they walk in, maybe let's say as a freshman, 18 years old, first time away from home, possibly. And here they are in a seminary with expectations and rules. While we might have a vision of what a seminary looked like, 500 years ago with candles and monks and things like that, a lot of that is changed. But the schedule and the expectations in terms of prayer and study, that has not changed since the days of St. Charles Borromeo, the patron of seminarians. His establishment of a rule of life, waking up in the morning, having morning prayer, mass, time for learning, education, talks from the faculty, which we call kind of human formation. What does it mean to be a man? What is masculinity? What's a healthy masculinity? What's a healthy sexuality? We talk about all those kinds of things. There's not a single topic that is hidden from our conversations, because Christ wanted to enter into our full humanity. That's what we just celebrated, of course, at Christmas, the incarnation of our God in Christ Jesus. God became man. And so we talk about, why is that? Why did God become man? What is it about our humanity that is so important, and how can we get in touch with that? Of course, we talk about spirituality. We have wonderful philosophy professors that talk about the history of knowledge and wisdom and learning who we are and how to relate to the world. And then how do we apply that through pastoral opportunities, heading out into hunger shelters and nursing homes when we're able to, of course, and to be able to work with people in need.
The basic degrees are sociology or followed by theology. Or philosophy.
Philosophy, exactly. So the students that enter Borromeo Seminary, we are privileged to be able to work with John Carroll University, the Jesuit Catholic University, one of them here in the Cleveland area. So our students take classes at John Carroll. They are actually John Carroll students. So the classes that we teach at Borromeo are all accredited through John Carroll University. So from an academic perspective, they get a Bachelor of Arts, and it's usually in philosophy, though it could be in psychology, sociology, it could be in history. Any of the liberal arts are okay, but they take so much philosophy that they might as well just get a major in philosophy. So typically it is a philosophy degree and then a theology degree. So to become an ordained priest in the church, you have to have a undergraduate degree, at least 2 years of an undergraduate degree, and then a master's degree in Master of Divinity, which usually takes between 5 to 6 years. So we're talking between 8 to 10 years of higher education. vocation after high school.
Discernment. I don't want to say what is it, but I guess that's my question. Is it getting to that final step that says, yes, I'm going to take the vow? Or we've talked a lot about the process, but
sure.
When does it hit you that, yep?
Yeah. So, you know, people don't always like this comparison, but I think it is very similar to the sense of falling in love, right? Mm-hmm. So you ask a couple that's maybe been married for 40 or 50 years, you know, when did you know that you were going to be together? And many of them say, well, it was at one moment. And some of them say it was over a slow progression of listening both to their own heart, listening to the Lord, listening to each other. I think being a seminarian is a lot about falling in love. It's falling in love with Jesus. It's falling in love with the church, because the discernment is both a listening to the Lord and listening to the church. You know, there are two aspects of discernment that go on in the seminary. It's not just, well, Jesus wants me to be a priest, and so therefore I should be ordained. Mm-hmm. It's also, is the church calling you as well? And the church is represented, of course, by the people of God and by the faculty that are present there as we listen and discern and ask good questions along with that student. So there's two pieces of all of that.
Talking about falling in love, my wife and I were married 15 months after we met.
Yeah.
And after she said no to dating me three times. had I had to go through the process that you guys go through, she would have kicked me right to the curb. All the warts would have shown. But that was 43 years ago, so we're doing okay.
Well, fortunately, God blesses many marriages with a lot of courage, a lot of patience, and I think, as you said, in some ways it's connected to the priesthood. But yes, there are so many skills in terms of priesthood that's added on to not just that sense of listening to our hearts and,
sure.
and listening to that sense of love.
Father Andy Turner, stay right where you are. We'll be right back on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. God Calling is the name of our show, all about vocations, and who knows more about the priestly vocation as far as those drawn to it than Father Andy Turner, the Dean of Students at Borromeo Seminary. Father, I read on the website, the progression of priestly formation has four pillars. I wrote them down in case they don't pop right into your head.
Oh, no, I know those dimensions or pillars very, very well.
I figure you would.
Yeah, our entire program is structured around those, and we are really indebted to the wisdom of St. John Paul II, who in a document in the early 90s really established those pillars. Before that, seminary formation was primarily focused on the spiritual dimension and the academic dimension. So time of prayer and time of study, right? There might have been some pastoral work, but most seminaries were very cloistered. Once you entered the seminary, you might not see your family or friends for a very long time. You might be in the seminary for a year or several years without seeing family and friends. John Paul II brought about a different vision for some of that. It had been occurring, but really brought about that in a very formal way of adding both a pastoral dimension that was essential and the human dimension. And that human dimension was the most unique, getting at that sense, which I talked about a little bit earlier in our conversation, about that sense of what does it really mean to be a human? What does it mean to really live in a community? What does it mean to love in a chaste, celibate way? All of those pieces are an essential part of formation now. So the human, the spiritual, the intellectual or academic, and the pastoral, that pastoral sense of going out into a community. No longer are the seminarians cloistered together, but they go out and serve in schools, in nursing homes, in hospices, in jails, in community centers, in parishes, and taking care of and working in that ministry. That helps with that discernment. Those four dimensions, those four pillars, are all what supports the discernment process.
Mm-hmm. You might get transferred too, and those same. You have to keep those skills sharp, because it's not always going to be the same people volunteering to do the same jobs, new parish, new place. And how you guys remember people's names, I'll never know, but that's another story. But, you have to be open to change as well.
Yeah, those skills are essential for ongoing formation as well, and coming back to at different points in our life. And I think, again, you going through different stages in your own life, in your marriage, recognizing there's times where you have to go back to some of the basics with your spouse and say, we need to relook at some of these aspects of our love. I think that's true for priests as well, going back to the human, the spiritual dimensions, maybe some ongoing formation or education, a retreat. Priests take a yearly retreat where we're actually expected and required to do that, to spend time in prayer with our Lord, with our Blessed Mother, taking time to reflect upon the great gift of priesthood. So growing academically, growing spiritually, human, exploring different aspects of the pastoral work. I never would have imagined when I was ordained that I'd be in the seminary. I thought I'd be a pastor at this point. Mm-hmm. So doing different types of pastoral work as I am in the seminary is something I've had to grow and learn, and I've taken classes and done some conferences and programs to help me to do this.
Is that how you were led to this path?
that's a whole nother story in itself. Yeah. I never expected to do this. I was asked by our bishop at the time, 8 years ago, if I would be open to considering it. And I was open to that. When the bishop asks you to do something out of obedience, you definitely take it very serious. But I prayed a lot about that, if that was something I would be able to do. And I've been so thankful for the opportunity to be able to do it. It really is a vocation within a vocation. Who knows what the future may hold, but for now, I'm very, very, very privileged to be teaching at the seminary.
The words that I see through some of this discernment information that I've read in getting ready for this is thinking, reflection, and prayer. Mm-hmm. But the one that comes up over and over and over again is prayer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That really is essential. And so the men that are formed at the seminary have both a spiritual director that they meet with every 3 weeks to 4 weeks or so. Essential aspect that prayer, and prayer structures our entire day. It is the lifeblood of a seminary, is our time with the Blessed Sacrament, our time in devotional prayer and communal prayer. But then every seminarian has a formation advisor that they also meet with every 3 or 4 weeks, and that guides them through those dimensions or pillars of formation that you mentioned earlier, the human, the spiritual, the intellectual, and the pastoral, and make sure those are integrated. That's a really important word, integration. You know, not just going through the motions or jumping hoops, but really, how are those different dimensions touching each other so that you can see that how you're praying is also then affecting how you study and how you serve your brothers and sisters in need? That's so important.
You also designed an app.
Yes.
I've done my homework.
Yes, I did. Yeah. And so thanks. We use technology, right, to be able to do that. And Percorso, which is Italian, it's an Italian word meaning the way, the menu. So it's a tool that helps the seminarians to reflect upon where they are in formation. So that was a really nice segue, because that goes to the integration piece, helping them to set goals for themselves that are in line with what the church is asking them to do, depending upon the different stages of formation. It's a gradual approach. We don't have the same expectations for a freshman in college as we do a third-year graduate student, right? So it's a gradual approach. So as they use the technology, that helps them to be able to write reflections and allow the faculty to read those reflections and to get at the core of where each seminarian is on their journey. Because every seminarian is unique, and we need to be able to address their unique needs and their unique goals wherever they are in the program. And sometimes that means stepping away from formation for a year and doing some counseling or doing other work. And maybe that means stepping away from the seminary altogether. We want to support the seminarians in wherever they are and to speak to the needs that they have.
I take it there are those difficult conversations that this is not going, you're not there. Yeah,
and sometimes
hopefully the answer's yet.
Yeah, sometimes the seminarian comes to that conclusion, and sometimes the faculty has to help the seminarian to come to that conclusion. But we always hope that it's a mutual understanding. But yes, there are men that enter the seminary. Think about, we've had classes of 12 men come in, and out of that, maybe 4 or 5 out of a group of 12 are actually ordained after after 8 or 9 years. So you think about that. I mean, that's a journey.
Online, I've seen your picture over at the Shrine saying Mass, and I see out on the west side in Avon Lake. Does that help you in your ministry to see these different communities, different parishes, and how people worship and how their pastors lead them?
Yeah, Paul, my heart and my love will always be in the parish. I think that's why I was ordained a diocesan priest for the Diocese of Cleveland, is because I love to serve. I love to celebrate Mass. I love to celebrate the sacraments, baptisms, and weddings, and funerals. That's something I enjoy very, very much. And so in addition to my seminary work, I am privileged to be able to go out and to help on weekends at different places like St. Joseph in Avon Lake, at St. Noel's in Willoughby Hills, Resurrection Parish in Solon, all over the diocese. Diocese, that's always my first love, and I enjoy it very much.
When you talked about all of those celebrations, baptisms, and weddings, you got the biggest smile you had in your whole, our entire half hour here today, which is good. So if somebody would like to maybe see if that smiles for them, how can they contact you or the seminary, and how do they get started?
One of the best ways to do, check out our website, borromeoseminary.org. All the information is on there. You can contact the Vocation Office. Vocation Office has is on Twitter and Facebook, as is Borromeo Seminary. So just a quick search on most social media will point you to either Father Michael McCandless or to Borromeo Seminary. Give us a call, ask some questions, send us an email. We'd be happy to talk with anyone that has questions about seminary formation today.
Father Andy Turner, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This is Paul Orlowski. We'll be back next week.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello?
Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.